In the Blues Break on WBGO, I am joined by Doug McLeod. We're going to be talking about this and that and plenty more. And we're also going to be remembering Aretha Franklin Friday night, the Queen of Soul, a rebroadcast of the Rhythm Review Aretha Franklin special with Felix Hernandez. It's 4 hours of soul and joy, along with tributes from those who worked with and knew Aretha Franklin. Rhythm Review, the Aretha Franklin special, is Friday evening from 8 to midnight on 88.3 FM and WBGO.org. Meanwhile, Friday night, you're going to be at the Town Crier in Beacon, New York.
In Beacon, New York on Friday night.
And then tomorrow night, you're going to be at the Queens Brewery in Ridgewood, New York.
That's right.
Who I'm talking to is Doug McLeod. Do you think of yourself as a troubadour?
I kind of do, Michael.
You really are the definition of it.
I guess I am. You know, I'm one guy, one guitar, one suitcase. That's it.
And storytelling.
Yes.
It's not just about the singing of the songs.
No.
The songs are stories, but you also tell stories with the stories.
Right. There was an old blues man I met in Tuan, Virginia that told me, he said, never write or sing about what you don't know about.
There you go.
So what that means is I like to tell the stories about the songs in front of the songs so that people get a chance to say, oh, I can relate to that, or I don't really understand that, but at least they got a choice on it, right?
It's funny because when you listen to the history of all these songs, so many of these songs crisscross. Did Robert Johnson write this? No. Did Sleepy John Estes write this? No. This back and forth, and then you hear bits and pieces of different songs in different songs.
Absolutely.
I asked for water, she brought me gasoline. I don't know how many songs that shows up in. But at the same time, there are commonalities. There are heartbeats in the blues from song to song, whoever is singing. That's what you talk about, really. Perform.
I think it's the truth. I think that was the main thing that that man taught me. I remember the first time I played a song for him. It was Hellhound on My Trail, and at that time, I really wasn't aware of the abuse that had happened to me when I was a boy, right? So I really wasn't. But somehow that song spoke to me. But I was not singing about that. What I was singing about with that song was how to get the hippie chicks, right? Because they really dug it when they did a Robert Johnson song.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So I go up to see Mr. Banks, and I play that song for him. And he said, what's that song about, boy? I said, the song's about a hellhound. He said, what do you know about a hellhound? I said, I don't know nothing about a hellhound. He said, then why are you singing it, boy? I said, well, because the hippie chicks like it. He said, but you don't know nothing about it, but you're singing about it.
Right.
I said, yes. So he said, I can't say the word, but he said, so you BSing me, aren't you, boy?
Right.
Why do you want to BS me, boy? And I said, I don't want to do that. And he said, never write or sing about what you don't know about, and never play a note you don't believe.
And the twist was you didn't know that you were singing about something that you
knew
about.
And that's the honest thing. I didn't know about it. You know, somehow on some subliminal level, I knew what that
meant. That's the hellhound.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I was jiving at the time because I wasn't aware of it, you know. I wasn't really aware of it.
Do you sing it now?
No.
You don't ever sing it anymore?
No.
You don't have any hellhounds after you?
Well,
there aren't any hippie chicks anymore.
No, my wife would kill me.
That's right. There you go.
Let's be honest about
it. That's true. There you go. There you go. But, you know, you discovered blues in St. Louis.
Yes.
When we were kids, because we're almost the same age.
That's right.
And you were in Ladue, and I was in down North St. Louis in Beaumont. So,
I remember how it happened too. We moved from New York. We had been listening to doo-wop up in this area,
right?
And we moved there, and I met a buddy of mine named Steve Waldman, who is one of the guys that had been around the St. Louis scene forever. Played with Johnny Johnson and Eugene Neal and all those guys, you know, back in the day. And so he said to me, he said, you want to go hear blues? I said, man, I don't want to go hear blues. I said, let's go hear some rock and roll. Let's go hear some doo-wop. He said, I'm taking you down. We went down to somewhere in South St. Louis somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And it had to be either Eugene Neal or Benny Sharp that we saw. Right? I'm not sure who. But I immediately related to what that music was all about. Immediately. It didn't take a second. As soon as I heard it, I said, oh, wow, I like this. And I like the people that were all around it and so on. So I gravitated towards it.
Play one of the songs or sing one of the songs that you first loved when you were a kid in St. Louis.
When I first loved?
Yeah.
In St. Louis.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're not going to do Whip Out a Hellhound on my trail.
No, we're not going to do that.
No, no, never do that. You've been scared enough for one lifetime.
See, now I'm trying to, you're asking me to do a song that I'd have to remember. So I'm a songwriter, so I have a hard time remembering my own song.
Well, no, play, what's your first song? What's the first song you ever wrote? You still do that?
It might have been something like this. Talking about like we talking about Lou Father Times and stuff. I'm gonna get up soon this morning. I do believe I dust my broom. I'm gonna get up soon this morning. I do believe I dust my broom. You can tell the woman I've been loving. Let my friend have my room. I don't want no woman. She won't ever downtown mess with me. I don't want no woman. Won't ever downtown mess with me. I know she a man, mistreat her. They shouldn't have her up on the street. I'ma call up China, telephone every town I know. I'ma call up China, telephone every town I know. I see West Memphis, or East Monroe, I know. I do believe I would dump my broom. I'm gonna get up soon this morning. I do believe I dump my broom. You can tell the woman I've been loving. Let the black man have my room.
Doug McLeod is with me on WBGO. I have to confess, I've played that song by Robert Johnson, by Elmore James, famous recording, and so many others through the years. I have no idea what it means to dust one's broom.
To clean out.
Just to clean house. That simple. The blues is like that, isn't it?
I think so.
It's so simple that it's too profound to even comprehend.
I used to say, when I was doing my show, back in California, I used to say, when we did the drives, I said, this is deceptively simple music.
That's it. Deceptively is the answer.
Deceptively simple music. You know, they say it's only three chords, anybody can play it. No, they can't.
No.
You know, there's a lot of dynamics that have to be done, there's a lot of space, a lot of things have to be done to play blues.
Where did you get that guitar? Because that's the most oddest looking guitar I've ever seen.
What do you mean, oddest looking guitar?
It's beautiful. Oh, no, it's beautiful. It's got all the steel. It's got this lattice work of holes instead of a big hole over the where usually you're strumming. It's got all these. There must be about 30 or more holes. Yeah. Not holes, but squares or hexagons or whatever the hell they are.
Well, this is a National M1.
Okay.
All right. Now, what this is a modern version of the old National style ones that were made either out of German silver, or they're made out of brass. But the young guys that have National now, decided they were going to make them out of different material. This is all mahogany, except for the cover plate here. And there are three cones in it.
Right.
They look like little speakers, two on the bass side and one on the treble side. And they were made by the Del Piero brothers that were Czechoslovakian immigrants that come over to the United States back in the late 20s. And what they wanted to do was mechanically amplify instruments. And so what they figured on was, let's put a big hole in a guitar, put three speakers in it, and it's going to sound good. And it did. And these were the guitars that eventually went to, like, Hawaii. The Hawaiian guys used them, you know, slack key players. And, of course, the blues players used them because in the juke joints, they had to be loud enough to get over the noise and the din and so on.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you had to play loud to be heard.
That's right.
And you were playing without amps back then.
Without amps, and you had to sing loud, you had to play loud, yeah.
I could hear you playing the bass line as you were playing. I mean, that's hard to do. It's yeah, I mean, you're real good. But when you were talking about that, I mean, I could hear the bass more distinctly the way you were playing from your fingers, but also it's because of this instrument.
Yeah, and, you know, you got to remember that the old country blues guys, right, they all had what we call a great right hand. Ernest Banks told me this. He said, your left hand is your brain. If you know what tuning I'm in, and you look at my left hand, you're going to say, oh, I don't know what it is. That's a G chord. That's a D chord. This is an A chord. But the magic is what goes on in the right hand. That's why when you listen to William McTell, he doesn't sound like Blind Boy Fuller, who doesn't sound like Blind Blake, who doesn't sound like Lemon Jefferson, who don't sound like Son House or Tampa Red, because the right hand is the personality. It's got to be different.
What's the hallmark of your personality, of your right hand? What do you think?
Well, I think confusion, I think, is a good way to...
Confusion?
Yeah. Somehow, I would say directed confusion. I did a DVD for a company, and they asked me to do the tablature for it. And Michael, I got to tell you, I had no idea what I was doing. I just know that, you know, your thumb and your fingers and your finger pick, and that's it.
Right. And you didn't know what you were doing.
Honestly, I still don't. I just try and get the sound I hear inside my head out.
All right. Well, we're going to have some more of that. But tell a story about Hooker.
Oh, this is a great story.
Today's the birthday of John Lee Hooker, and he was going to, but didn't.
Yes. This is how it goes. I was playing with my band, and we were playing at a place called Rubens on the Rocks. It was a Monday night, maybe 20 people in a place. And in walks a guy that looks like John Lee Hooker. Now, this is before the healer. So you had to be a blues fan to know who he was, right? And I said to myself, that looks like John Lee Hooker. And I said, no, that can't be John Lee Hooker. What's John Lee Hooker doing at Rubens on a Monday night? And I said, that can't be him. So we get done with a set, and Tara Rose, who at one time was married to Skip Rose, the guy that played with Charlie Musselwhite, who was a fan of my music, came up to me and said, Doug, there's a gentleman that wants to meet you. I said, okay. So I go over and said, Doug, this is John Lee Hooker. I said, oh, my God, that's John Lee Hooker, you know. And John Lee Hooker, you know, had a little stutter, right? So I'm going to imitate him just a bit for the story. He said, Dud, you know, we really like the song you did, the one called the Wake a Man Blues. I said, you like that song? He said, yeah, send it up to me. So the next day, I made a cassette of it and sent it to him. I never heard from him. In the meantime, Bruce Iglau called me and said that Albert Collins was interested in doing this song. And I said, yeah, you can go ahead and do it. So Albert Collins recorded it. So as fate would have it, maybe 6 or 7 months later after Albert had done the song, I'm over doing the Pier Festival in Belgium. And I see that John Lee Hooker's on the bill, and I want to go over and meet him, you know, and say hi, you know. So I walk up to his dressing area. He had one of those bodyguards there, and I introduce myself, and he goes, he know you? I said, well, I think he does. I said, just tell him my name. He said, okay. And a little bit later, he come back out, and he said, yeah, he know you. Go on in. So we go in, and I'm talking to him, and eventually the conversation come around to that song.
All right.
And John says, tell me, what happened to that song? I said, you mean the Working Man Blues? He said, yeah. I said, Albert Collins did it. He said, Colin did it. Colin did the song? I said, yeah, but I gave it to you. Why didn't you do it? You had the song first. He said, too many words.
Ah. Well, here's all those words.
Here's all those words.
From Albert Collins.
Yeah.
Well, I walked down to my bed just to see what I could see. I asked the man behind the desk.
Doug McLeod is with me on the Blues Break, and Albert Collins just ended with one of Doug's songs, Cash Talking. You have a politically correct version of this now?
Well, somewhat.
I mean, Cash is never going to be politically correct. But I was wondering, there's a song I wanted to play that Albert King recorded called Your Bread Ain't Gone. Or
Bread
Ain't Done.
Yeah.
Is that about money also?
No, that's about crazy people. See, one out of every three people is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I tell the audience, I say, so take a look at who you're sitting with tonight. Take a good look, because if it ain't them, it's you.
Oh, that's true. So when did Al? I mean, did you hear? You know, when we were kids, mm-hmm. I was in high school when you were in high school in St. Louis. I mean, and did you hear Albert?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure,
Albert.
I
mean, a lot of them came from Memphis to St. Louis,
right.
like my family did, really.
Right. But Albert, he lived outside in Illinois somewhere, like Lovejoy, I think. They made a record about that.
Okay.
He did an album. He lived out. Albert, as I understand it, bounced between Memphis and St. Louis quite a bit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Right. Chuck Berry was obviously
Wentzville.
The star of Wentzville. Geez.
Yeah,
it was the star in St. Louis. Johnny Johnson played in his band.
Do you know we backed him up? I was playing bass. I backed him up back in the day when he had a little trouble. I was in a band called Eddie Lewis and the Starfires, and we backed him up at Mosley Electronics. I think it was on the north side. And then the great story about him, Michael, about 2 years after that, I joined the Navy, and I was coming home on leave, and I had my uniform on. And I picked up a connection out of D.C. going to St. Louis, a TWA jet. And I'm walking through the first class section going back to my seat. And there's Chuck Berry up in the front, right? So the plane takes off. And a stewardess come by. And I say to her, I said, you know, there's a gentleman up there in the first class I'd like to say hello to. She said, well, you can go, but you can't stay. I think I got to be able to go up there because I had my uniform on. So I get up there. And I introduce myself, and I say, Mr. Berry, you know, I backed you up at Mosley Electronics at Teen Hop. And he said, oh, I remember that. He didn't remember that. He's just being nice. He said, what are you doing now? I said, well, I'm in the Navy now. He said, and what are you doing now? I said, well, I'm going home on leave, you know. And he said, where are you sitting? I said, I'm in the back. He said, not anymore. You sitting up here with me.
Oh.
I sat up first class with Chuck Berry all the way to St. Louis on a TWA jet.
There you go.
How do you like that?
He, you know, somebody told me he never traveled with a band because everybody knew his tunes. He expected there'd be a band worth of people.
Well, you know something, it's the same way.
Like everywhere
he
went.
When I know that was, what, I was 16, maybe 15 years old when we backed him up, right? You're going to back him up. That's it, you know? He called off the key. That was it. Sometimes he didn't call off the key.
When I was in grade school, he used to bank about half a block from my school, and every once in a while, there'd be a humongous crowd of kids, and I'd realize, oh, Chuck is banking today. And it was all, I never saw him through all this crowd, but he was, he was the superstar of rock and roll back then in St. Louis. And you talked about playing the bass. I mean, the bass changed your life, right? I mean, I read something like that.
What?
Learning how to play the bass was like a key for you to learning even more.
Yeah, the bass was, you know, you were talking about my right hand, my thumb, and keeping the bass line going. When you play bass, you realize the importance of the bass as an instrument. You've got a good bass player and a good drummer together. You put a good shuffle together. That's a good feel there.
There you go.
You know? I remember the old blues guy used to tell me, he said, all you do is play the big, fat, dumb notes.
The big fat dumb notes.
That's what he told me.
Yeah.
Then I'll pay you.
Yeah, right. We're going to hear some more from Doug McLeod. He's going to be at Queens Brewery in Ridgewood tomorrow night and at the Town Crier in Beacon on the Friday evening. And right now, here's one of Doug's songs. And again, this is Albert King, and it's a song about the person sitting next to you, maybe.
That's a good way to say it, I think.
Doug McLeod is with me in the Blues Break. Tell me another story and play me another song. I want you to, I want to put you on the spot because I think that's what your life is like. I mean, you get put on the spot when you go out to perform. You don't go out with a set list, do you?
No.
That's what I mean.
I don't. I go out with a set list. I just tell the people all I plan on doing is showing up.
Exactly.
Yep. And then we just see whatever happens, happens, you know. Well, this is a song that, you know, the new album, we haven't touched on that yet, but new album is called Break the Chain, about breaking the chain of abuse in families and so on.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's also about hope and overcoming. I really believe, Michael, I was wondering at one time, the story, here's the story. I was wondering, but all the people talk about what the blues means to them. And I was could never quite put a handle on it, what I thought it meant. And then about, I remember this, I was playing with George Harmonica Smith, and we were playing in a bucket of blood joint, you know, where all that stuff was going on. And we're playing the slow blues, and I felt goosebumps go up my arm. And I said to myself, you know, there's more going on here in this music than just three chords. But I was young at the time, and I didn't have a handle on it, but I knew something was there. And then about 8 years ago, I'm in Belgium after a concert, enjoying a Belgian beer, and it dawned on me. I believe this music, blues, is a music of overcoming adversity, not subjecting to adversity. I was thinking about who created this music, and I was thinking about the conditions under which this music was created. This is a music of overcoming adversity. And one of the ways I saw the old blues man that I work with overcome adversity was humor. They loved to laugh. They laughed all the time. Sometimes the best shows were the ones in the back room.
Yeah.
And they'd be back there, you know, saying, well, you know, we just laughed to keep from crying. And I'd look at them. I was a young man, and I'd say, oh, that's a bunch of old guys talking. And now I know exactly what they're talking about. So every concert, I give this advice. I say, tomorrow morning, before you leave your bed, pack your sense of humor. Go into this world being able to laugh at the world, but more importantly, be able to laugh at yourself, and you're going to live longer, you're going to look better, and you're going to be able to love longer, looking better, living longer. All you're going to do is pack your sense of humor. So the next time you on the highway or the Garden State Parkway or wherever you're going to be and some fool cuts you off, don't get angry. Don't get the road rage. What I say is turn back, put on some good music, and just say, thank God I'm not married to that. And you feel so much better. This here song is called The Sunshine Down My Way. And it's just about that. It's just about that hope and believing that things are going to change and good things come. Forgotten, and I've sure been denied. deeper I have walked, I watch all the people ride. Oh, but I don't worry, 'cause I know someday I know the sun shine down my way. I once had a woman, I love her true. Don't you know she hurt me with the things she do? But people, I don't worry, I know someday, I know the sun shine down my way. And my so-called friends, they did me wrong. I said to myself, I'ma walk this world alone. Oh, I don't worry, I know someday, I know the sun shine down my way. Other people ride, but I ain't gonna worry, 'cause I know someday I know the sun shine down my way. No, I don't worry, 'cause I know someday
Doug McLeod is with me in the Blues Break on WBGO. Listener supported WBGO. Members, there's an event upcoming. New York, the revival of the hit Broadway musical Smokey Joe's Cafe. It's all songs of Lieber and Stoller. Features 40 classic hits, including On Broadway and Stand By Me and Love Potion Number 9. WBGO members, reserve your Prime Orchestra tickets today. Seats are limited. Number to call, 973-624-8880, extension 232. 973-624-8880, extension 232. Break the Chain is your new album.
Yeah.
And you have all kinds of songs on here about life. But then again, that's what we were saying. It's like all these songs are about life.
Yeah, I mean, it's folk music. The classic thing that Big Bill Brunsey, when he was asked, does he sing folk music? He said, well, I guess they do because I never heard a horse sing.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, this is folk music. Blues.
Exactly.
Blues is folk music.
So what's the story on who's driving this bus?
Well, the story behind this song is that it seems to me it doesn't matter what side of the politician spectrum you are, left or right. Seems to me that things don't get done for a lot of people. And I wonder, who is really driving this bus?
Oh, I wonder. Who's driving this bus? All I know, it ain't one of us.
Doug McLeod from an album called Break the Chain. Who's driving this bus? Are you touring a bus?
No. No.
We don't have a big enough band for a bus or something like that.
Oh, you're looking at the band.
That's it. That's it.
You're looking at the band.
He's going to be singing and playing tomorrow night, Queen's Brewery in Ridgewood, and Friday evening, Town Crier in the Beacon. And that's your new album, Break the Chain. It's a song that Joe Louis Walker, he's recorded several of your songs.
Well, it's a collaboration.
Yeah. You know. There's a song about wheels, Trouble on Wheels.
Trouble on Wheels.
Is that another metaphor like the bus?
Well, Trouble on Wheels. Let me see. Is that the one? Check that out, Michael. Check and see how many guys wrote that song. There could be a funny story about that song. How many guys wrote that song?
Three.
Three, that's all?
D. Amy.
Yeah. Joe and me.
Fontana.
Wait. Fontaine Brown, yeah?
And you.
That's it?
Yeah.
Joe didn't write that?
No.
Joe's not? Oh, okay. Well, then forget that story I was going to tell you because this is so...
Well... You wrote a story together on the Blues of the Month Club album. And
there's one where we wrote five. I got to tell you the funny story about it. There was an old thing in High Tone. We used to do a thing where we were hopefully to get some music on like a TV show or something, right?
Oh, right.
Right? So we used to have this saying, change a word, get a third. So you could come in and just say, instead of rain, you say pain or Spain or Nain or any kind of thing. And we go, okay, change a word, get a third. I forget what song it was that we wrote. There was about six of us on it. And I think it was a James Armstrong cut. And there were six of us on it, hoping we were going to get this theme song. And then I saw Joe in Henderson, Kentucky. We were doing a festival. And I said, Joe, you know what's going to happen about that song? He said, what, Doug? I said, you know, 75 years from now, some musicologists are going to get together and they're going to say, it took those seven fools to write that
exactly,
one song. You know?
Exactly.
And that's why we're trying to do it. You know, we're trying to make some money.
Ah, there you go. Well, was it Play 'Em Where They Lay? That's also a song you wrote.
Oh, that's
wrote
a good
with,
song. That's a good song. Yeah,
that you wrote with Joe Louis Walker.
Yeah, that was, Play 'Em Where They Lay. That was a good little tune.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blues Break, this is. Doug McLeod wrote that song with Joe Louis Walker, Play It As It Lays. George Harmonica Smith, talk about him, because he was a mentor to you.
So, maybe the biggest mentor I had.
So yeah. What did you learn? How did you meet? Tell me the story.
How did George and I meet? We met at Shaky Jake's Safari Club in South Central L.A. I was on 54th in Vermont. I was playing... like a jam kind of session. And I got done and I went over to the bar and sitting down having a Budweiser. And a gentleman to my right said, oh, I like the way you play. I said, oh, thanks. I said, you play also? He said, yeah. I said, well, what kind of guitar you play? He said, I don't play guitar. I said, well, what do you play? He said, I play harmonica. And I put my hand out. I said, I'm Doug McLeod. He said, I'm George Smith. And that's how we hooked up. And he was born on my natural father's birthday, right? Years before that, after my dad's birthday. But my natural father and I, we didn't get along too good. But George and I got along really well, and famously well. And I learned from him, entertainment, I think. How it was more important. The people and the music are more important than you. And then you have that Luther Allison saying, you know, before you play, and before I play, I say it every time, and it's what George had. Leave your ego, play the music, and love the people. So you get yourself out of it. So the most important things are out in front. And that's the serious side of George. Do I have time to tell you a funny story about
you? Of course.
Okay. George, I was telling my cousin Judy this. We were having a reunion yesterday, and we were all at the supper table, and I'm telling the story. I'm going to tell the story to the folks here. You know, with blues, I think you got to take the history of this music with a grain of salt, because these guys would say things, depending on the situation that they were in. So I was playing with George. We got done with his set, and a gentleman come up to George after this set, and he says, George Smith, he said, man, you are the greatest harmonica player I have ever heard. And George said, thank you, baby. And he said, where are you from, man? And the guy said, I'm from Alabama. And George said, I was born in Alabama. And the guy said, let me buy you a drink, George. And they spent the whole night. George didn't have to buy a drink. And a couple of nights later, we're in another place, and the guy comes up to George and says, George, man, never heard nobody play harmonica like you. You're really the best, man, and you entertain so well. George said, thank you, baby. Where are you from? And the guy would say, let's say, Missouri. And he'd go, I'm from Missouri. I was born in Missouri. He said, no, you weren't. He said, yes, I was. He said, let me buy you a drink. So George and I were talking. I said, George, you know, I've been with you for a while. Where were you born? He said, Dub, I'm born wherever the liquor coming from.
Here's you playing the guitar with George Smith playing his namesake instrument. George Harmonica Smith with Doug McLeod on the guitar, just said, that's from an album called Now You Can Talk About Me. some meaning behind that title, you think?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think George ever received the recognition that he deserved when he was alive, you know. But I tell you something, Michael. I worked with him, and I saw magic with him. I saw and heard magic with him. He was a very special talent.
Doug McLeod, also very special. He's going to be at the Queen's Brewery in Ridgewood tomorrow night and Town Crier in Beacon on Friday evening. And he's right now with me in the blues break. You want to, can I have another story and song?
Another story. What kind of boy? You put me right on the spot in a minute there.
That's what you do. You put yourself on the spot. So
well, I know. Well,
let me see. Let the spot story resound.
Well, let me see another story. Maybe we could do a story about. Let me think about. You know, it's hard to tell some of these stories because some of these stories you got to have words you can't put over the air.
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking about another George story. I can't really think. How about if I play a song?
Can we
do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
Play a song, man. All right. This is let me put this up. This is what old Ernest Banks, the other mentor of mine from Tawana, Virginia, he would call this a ditty. This is a song about when you think, well, the one you loving might be loving somebody else. Oh. I got a feeling with your listening audience that would not happen with this high-class clientele that you have
here. I see, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But just to let them know what the other half lives like.
Here. Yeah.
This one's called That Ain't Right. Tell me what's going wrong. That ain't right. That ain't right. I don't care what you say. That ain't right. I say, baby, can we work this out? She said, nothing here to talk about. That ain't right. That ain't right. I don't care what you say. That ain't right. She's a good-looking woman, you know it's true. Won't do it for me, but she'll do it for you. That ain't right. That ain't right. I don't get what you say. That ain't right. Saying one thing and doing another. Running a game undercover. That ain't right. That ain't right. I don't get what you say, buddy. That ain't right. I said, baby, we need a love correction. She said, I don't really need that suggestion. That ain't right. That ain't right. Say she gone with the girls at night. Come home late, smell like Old Spice. That ain't right. That ain't right. I don't care what you say, man. That ain't right. So I got me a woman on the side. Now I've been getting what I've been denied. And that's all right. That's all right. I don't care what you say. That's all right. Man, I don't care what you say. That's all right.
Who knew this music would ever be as popular as it is? Because I was talking, when we were kids, you and I were kids in St. Louis, yeah. KATZ was on there, and you used to have a blues show, and I still remember the day that there was the funeral for the blues, because it wasn't as popular.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the cat's name, the DJ.
You know, I was in the Navy then, when that happened. I left. We also had KXLW, right?
Sure.
That was, there were two, Father Times.
There were two black stations, and yes. then finally they crisscrossed, and
right.
Gil
right.
Newsom started playing Bobby Bland records, things like that, and all that nonsense started falling away, and people were listening to each other, because that was a big deal back then. That was still going on.
It was 24 hours a day. Remember that? We could hear that. We could hear the music all the time.
I used to sneak a transistor into the bed to listen to Spider Brooks from broadcasting from East St. Louis.
Yes.
And I finally met him years later.
Did you meet him?
He opened a joint about a block from Busch Stadium, from Sportsman's Park, called
really?
The Gourmet Rendezvous, I remember. And he booked Dizzy in there. It was great.
That's great.
It was a terrific cat. Anyway, we grew up in a city that was filled with blues. St. Louis blues, there was such a thing.
You know, there's a guy named John May, who owns BB's Jazz Blues and Soups.
Yeah.
That club that's by the baseball park, the new park now.
Okay.
He has a book out called The Confluence, where he proclaims the history of our hometown, at how many blues musicians went through there and lived there and played there. And it doesn't get notoriety that a town like Memphis or Chicago does, but there was a lot of great blues played in the St. Louis area.
The legend is that people came up from New Orleans or Mississippi, they came up the river, and they stopped off in Memphis, and then they went to St. Louis, mm-hmm. and then they went to Chicago.
Right.
But, my grandfather came from Memphis to St. Louis, and little Milton came from Memphis to St. Louis. Albert King came from Memphis to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And it was back and forth all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Big Joe Williams was there. J.D. Short was there. Henry Townsend was there. You know, acoustic guys, they were there too.
They changed the barbecue when they came because in Memphis it's got more of that vinegar in it, right?
That's right. The St. Louis got a good barbecue. Yeah.
It's more dry rubbed or something with.
Well, that's like the Rendezvous in Memphis, right? With the dry rub. That's pretty good barbecue.
Okay.
Yeah.
But somebody said, "Where did you eat St. Louis barbecue?" And I said, "In the backyard of my uncle's." You know, and when I built a brick thing and you put a grill and. It was, and the greasier it was, the better the barbecue.
I got an old oil can smoker, you know, the old fashioned one. And when I get off this tour, I'm going to be home for Labor Day, and my son and my wife and everything, I'm going to be making barbecue, and I use pecan wood.
Okay.
Have you ever done that before?
No.
The pecan wood adds to chicken and fish, adds a great flavor to it. It's milder, but it gives you that smoke feel. It's a great wood to barbecue with. This is turning into the food channel.
That's right. What barbecue means to me. No, you wrote Carter's a song called What the Blues Means to Me. The sequel would be What Barbecue Means to Me.
Well, that's the thing I just told you.
Right.
That's the spoken word, yeah.
Yep, that's that, and that's on here, and Who's Driving This Bus that we played just before, yeah. and Going Down to the Roadhouse, and Mr. Blues Man.
Oh.
Tell us that story.
You going to tell that? Oh, well, I'm going to tell you this story. This song was inspired by a guy that my wife and I saw that was proclaiming to be a blues man. He was a harmonica player. He was the worst harmonica player I have ever heard in my life. And I am angry about that because I'll tell you, I work with George Smith, and Charlie Musselwhite has been on an album of mine. And I know that the good ones like Rick Estrin and Kim Wilson and all those guys in that, William Clark, in that level, they don't play just the second position. They play first, second, third, fourth. They do magical things with that instrument. So this guy comes out, he's got his uniform on, and he's got his bandolero strapped harmonica cases and everything with all 64 keys of harmonicas. And then when he plays, he can't play. And he can't sing. And my wife turned over to me, and my wife, Patty Joy, said, Doug, I got a name for him. I said, what are you going to call him? She said, I'm going to call him Harmonica Pud. That stayed with me. And then I wrote this song called Mr. Blues Man, which is about, honestly, the posers that really just think it's just a play or an act, when this music is really about being serious about telling honest feelings to people.
Strapped around your chest and waist, but you can't play one of them with any taste. And when you play your guitar, you know you play it way too loud, spewing a lot of empty notes, trying to thrill the crowd. You got your blues uniform, but you still can't sing.
Doug McLeod from the album Break the Chain, a song about a blues man who's not all that bluesy.
Yeah, yeah.
More purple, I think, probably. Magenta.
Magenta.
Anyway, is that your favorite song on this album? It's probably the one you smile the most when you sing.
Well, I do enjoy it. I mean, I'm glad I work with a record company that really allows me a lot of artistic freeway. They barely asked me, they were fine with this. They were fine with the whole album. And The other thing that's cool about these albums is there's no overdubs in these records. And there's no pitch control or fixing in the mix, nothing. It's like they recorded back in the 30s and 40s. So what you hear is what we played, you know?
Warts and all.
Warts and all. It's like, you know, it's music made by humans for humans.
That's right. You know? Do you have another favorite on here?
There's a couple. I like Going Down the Roadhouse. Also, One for Tampa Red is another one.
Another cat you learned from.
Yeah, I studied him. I didn't know him, but I sure studied him. Yeah. Great slide player.
But Roadhouses, there are Roadhouses still maybe somewhere.
Somewhere. Going Down the Roadhouse was something that there was one outside of St. Louis. Now, you might know it. I think it was down by Festus or Crystal City.
That was, that's when that was in the country. Now that's part of the city, and there's all urban development.
I know, but that in the old days, that
used to be a dirt road.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I
Baden and all those places.
Yes. Yeah. I had a girlfriend down in Festus, and I've written a song or two about her. She was a nice gal.
Did you ever play one of those places with the chicken wire? In the front of the stage?
So. Nah. I think they might have had the chicken wire, but we were good enough that they didn't have to put the wire up.
Well, because they weren't going to throw beer bottles at you, which is the whole point.
We were good.
You have a couple of options to be bluesfully entertained on Friday evening. You can listen to Bob Porter, the Blues Meister, playing Lionel Hampton, Volume 2, Portraits in Blue, at 8 Friday evening on WBGO. Or if you're around the Beacon, New York. That's where, at the Town Crier, Doug McLeod is going to be. Tomorrow night, Doug McLeod is going to be at the Queen's Brewery in Ridgewood. And today, he's been with me. We're the Roadhouse. He was just singing from this album called Break the Chain. Thanks for bopping by. It's been great to meet you, homie.
I'm going to tell you something, Michael. Thank you for having me. It's great to meet you, too. And we've talked a little baseball before we got even started, didn't we, huh?
We can keep going on this, because not only did he come from my hometown or his hometown, or I was actually born in St. Louis. You just lived there for a long time.
I lived there.
But you also, you and I both have drunk a lot of beer in Belgium. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, let's have a whole other song.
All right. This is a song called Travel On. Nobody gets through this life walking mountaintops your whole life. You experience valleys. The secret is, when you're in the valley, keep on walking. Keep on walking till you get to the higher ground and just travel on. Thank you.
something more here than you and me can travel on. You ain't alone on your journey home, just travel on. You ain't alone on your journey home, you travel on. You ain't alone on the journey home, so travel on.
I love the sound of that.
Thank you.
Guitar. Man. Is it even a, it's more than a guitar in a way.
It's, they made this one for me. This is a, like I said, it's an M1, and her name is Moon.
Her name you've named.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you got your own nickname on your strap there, Dub.
Dub, yeah. Yeah, the guy gave it to me at the Merlefest.
There you go. Doug McLeod, it's been great having you with me
it's
today.
It's been a pleasure for me. Thank you so
talking
much.
About all this stuff. I started off the show about St. Louis Blues because we were talking about both of us living in St. Louis when we were kids. And the twist is W.C. Handy wrote that song in Memphis. So, I mean, the Memphis-St. Louis connection is always going to be there. And plays on the WBGO Newark.